Like I say, we appreciate the privilege and opportunity to be here today. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Appreciate what our heart's been made to feel already in the service. Now, I don't know. Daniel was talking about this morning, talking about being nervous. He done a wonderful job in there. Memorial service. I appreciate the message. And it's homecoming, and you want to try to preach a homecoming message. But I'll just have to mind the Lord. I really don't know what we're going to do, whether we'll do anything. I'm going to read some, if you want to read with us, out of 1 Peter, the first chapter. I look around this morning and I don't see anybody, I don't think, that's 86 years old. I don't think I'm wrong. This church established 1939. It's 86 years. This is 2025. You know, I really don't know what the first patriarchs, I'll say, first members, charter members, I don't know what they had, how long they'd think this thing would go on. Last church I pastored, and I've mentioned this more than once, but we sat in Sunday school class, and it's sort of a small room, but I sat on the front bench, and right in front of me every Sunday morning was a handwritten paper. When Plainview Baptist Church was established. And I read that thing over and over and over again. But I had a gentleman there to tell me, he said, we actually started in Brush Arbor. He said they had Brush Arbor out here, same place where they built the church. And they said, we was in Brush Arbor meeting. They said, a bunch of men gathered around and said, we're going to build a church. So they did. Now, they established a church in, I believe it was 1898, something like that. And they had it all wrote down, handwritten in pencil. What went on during that service, first service, charter members of that service, and the people that come to help them establish that church. And I always thought that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Group of people got together and established Mountain View Baptist Church. I believe there's some Cochran's involved. I believe there's some Davis's involved. I'm not 100% sure about it. And there were several other folks that got together and established Mountain View Baptist Church, 1939. Now, since then, they've been folks that's kept this church going. And I do know for a fact there's been some Cochran's involved, and they Benson Davis is involved. And I can think of about 25 people that's not here that was here when I was here the first time. I'm going to say 25 couples. We had some Bagleys. We had some Reimers. Had some Owenses. And we've got a few of the descendants of those people in our crowd today. That's trying to keep this church going. Brother Daniel preached this morning and talking about us coming together, getting together. And that when they went into Babylon, it really wouldn't. Is the Babylonian people, they was going to do away with Israel, quite frankly. But Israel grew. Back before that, Israel wound up in Egypt. And according to what the Lord had told Abraham, and this was hundreds of years before, told Abraham, you'll be in captivity in a strange land for 400 years. Some of you younger ones may not believe what some of the older ones has left with us. Now, I'm going to say this, and I believe it with all my heart. There's things, I believe Crafton said something to this effect this morning. There's things that I do personally, and a lot of us sitting here, because it has been handed down. It has been done before us. Showed before us. And there are some things in the church that's still thriving today because somebody in 1939 felt like Mountain View ought to be a church. Become members. One of another. Now, I don't know all together this morning. I done told you I don't know what I'm going to preach, what I'm going to say. I'm going to read you a little scripture, and I'm going to trust the Lord that, as Daniel said this morning, that I've got the right one. You say, preacher, you ought to know. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. 1 Peter, the first chapter, starting with the first verse. Now, I'm going to read one verse before I read this to you. But I'm glad to be a part of Mountain View Baptist Church. I am. I'm glad. I'm glad to be here. Preacher, you ain't no member. I'm more of a member than you think I am. I got some years invested in this church. I've got some things that the Lord has given me. because of you. Because of you. I can remember, I ought not say that. I remember too much sometimes. Thank God I do. Thank God I do. I wished, now I don't know where you give it any thought or not, when I go to homecoming, then I think about the homecomings back down through the years and what have you. And I'm going to tell you my heart this morning. You may not understand this, and you may think ill of me. I've tried my best for about a month to get somebody to preach this morning. I have tried my best, done all I could do, thought of all I could think of. And when I really get down to business between me and the Lord, they say, just hold on. And that's all I've done is hold on. I'm going to read you one verse before we get into Peter. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. 1 Peter, first chapter. Starting with the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through satisfaction of the Spirit, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading the entire chapter of the first chapter of 1 Peter. Now, you pray for us for just a minute. We'd be able to get ourselves out of the way and do that we feel that the Lord's laid on our hearts. And I'm going to be quite frank with you. I really don't know what we're going to preach on, what we're going to say. I've got a thought, and I really don't like the thought that I've got, but I've got a thought. Now, you may not understand. I don't know this morning. I just appreciate the goodness of God. I appreciate God being with us. I appreciate him meeting with us. As they sung the song, I appreciate him giving us that of the Holy Spirit. Brethren and sister, we'd be nothing without the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he said he give unto us. If you've read this chapter as I've read it, and if you've ever given it much thought, my friend, Peter showed you and told you, brethren, who it is and how it is that you got what you got. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible Word of God. There's nothing in this world that'll save a soul except the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will work. That's the only way you'll make it to heaven. And brethren, it takes the blood. It takes you believing in the blood. It takes you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without it, you are hell bound, my friend. Yes, you are. I think about the thought that I have, and I don't know why. I really don't. We can look out and see. And I've heard so many people down through the years talk about heaven. And I hope and pray this morning that heaven is to you what you think it is. Now you think about that. I hope and pray this morning. It might be strange. I told you it's strange. Strange thought. But I hope that heaven is to you what you think heaven is. You think about that. Brethren, I want you to know that you were bound for a devil's hell. Yes, you were. Without God, without Christ, without the blood, brethren, you're one of the devils. Yes, you are. Brother J.O. Jarrett said one day somebody asked him, come to him, they asked him, said, where is the lake of fire? Where is the lake of fire? He said, the Lord spoke to him just that quick. Said he told the man, he said, it's anywhere outside of heaven. Anywhere outside of heaven. Now, where is heaven? To you. I'm not talking about what heaven means to me. Brethren, what does heaven mean to you? What do you visualize? Everybody's got a thought about heaven and where heaven is. I can prove to you in the Word of God that there is a third heaven. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can prove to you by the Word of God that we've got something reserved in heaven. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I don't know where you're going, but thank God I'm going to heaven, my friend. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I've got a thought about what heaven is. I've got a thought about where it is. Don't you? I guarantee you, you do. I guarantee you this morning that you've got some form of what heaven means to you. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I've preached this for years. People don't believe it. But I've preached it, and I'm going to preach it and say it again this morning. There is very little description of heaven in the Bible. I know it ain't. You won't get many amens. I started to say you wouldn't get any. You won't get many. But I guarantee you, all you got to do is read the Word of God. You come back to me and tell me how much and where it describes heaven. Preacher, you can't preach that. Oh, yes, I can. You know why I can? Because that Word of God teaches it. That's why. This is not a trick question. It's not something I'm trying, my friend, to boo-hoo you with or to figure out what you think about heaven. My friend, every one of us has got some vision of what heaven is. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I can tell you some things that will not be there. Yes, sir. I can prove to you by the Word of God about some things that will not be in heaven. Yes, sir. But that ain't what I'm preaching on. What I'm preaching on is, what does heaven mean to you? Strange question. Preacher, it's homecoming. You preach as a homecoming message. This is all I've got. It's all I've got. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me what you think heaven is. Brethren, we've got folks, my friend, that has a hard time believing that heaven is real. Do you know that? We got more folks, my friend, that have a hard time believing that the lake of fire, there's anything to it. Yes, sir. You talk to people today and they'll tell you they're going to heaven because they don't want to go to hell. Yes, sir. Folks, you ain't going to make it out of hell unless the blood's been applied. That's the only ticket you got. Yes, sir. Now I got news for you. You won't get one after you die. Yeah? Yeah? Preacher, I'm going to purgatory. You don't even know where purgatory is. You don't even know what purgatory is. No, you don't. Absolutely not. No, sir. I'll tell you what the book says. It says when a man dies, he's in that grave. There's no knowledge in the grave. I can preach that to you. Brethren, there ain't no way. The Bible will tell you about hell. Yes, it will. The Bible says that the rich man lifted his eyes in hell, being in torment. Torment. You know what he said? He said, Father Abraham, he says, send Lazarus down there to my five brethren. Is that what he said? What he wanted to send him down there for? He said that they might not come to this place. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Book says, my friend, you know what Father Abraham told the rich man? You know what he told him? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Said, let them hear them. Yes, sir. That right? Listen, brethren. Paul said he knowed a man above 14 years ago, whether in the spirit or whether out of the spirit, or whether in the body or out of the body, he could not tell. That's what he said, was it not? He said, of such a one caught up to the third heaven. Yes, sir. Hermit, he saw things, my friend, and heard things that he could not speak nor tell. But he said, of such a one will I glory. That's what he said. Folks, I want you to know that if your name ain't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, ain't that what you sung? My name's written there. Thank God it's on the roll. If it's not, you're not an occupant. No sirree. No sirree. In my Father's house is many mansions. If it were not true, I'd have told you so. He said, I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be there also. Folks, Jesus Christ has been revealed, thank God, through the Holy Spirit this morning. Yes, he has. I'm not waiting on him to be revealed. I'm not waiting on my home. You listen to me. I know what it is. I know what the book says. And I know what it teaches, my friend, about. You say, preacher, you can't be in heaven. These people, my friend, talks about camping in Canaan's land. They ain't but 4,000 or 5,000 years too late. Absolutely. Absolutely. Brethren, God's put us here. He's given us something. And the kingdom of God lives within you today. If it don't, I'm not an occupant. People get all tore up about that verse, a couple of verses I just quoted to you. You go look at the definition. He said, I go prepare a place for you. You go look at the definition of that word. And there's one definition out of hundreds, my friend, it says a way of admission. Yeah. Yeah. A way of admission. He says that you might be where I am. Is that not what he says? Can I ask you a question? They sung the song, my friend, he didn't leave me. He didn't leave me like he found me. Brethren, you know why he didn't leave me? Because I believed. Thank God the blood was applied, and now I'm one of his. Amen. I can't help it. Thank God I'm going to preach it this morning. Yes, sir. You hear me? You hear me? The Bible says also in some of Paul's writing, it talks about Jesus Christ being the head of the body, and the body is the church. It's all them that's been born again. Thank God he's part of you today. Is he not? Is he not? Listen, I don't know what your position or what your form or what your vision of heaven is, but I'll promise you, and I say this with all the humbleness that I have this morning, I hope it's just like you think. I hope it is. Yeah. Listen. When God set his kingdom up, folks, he ain't coming back to set one up. You hear me?
Amen.
He's not coming back, my friend, to set up his kingdom. I believe with all my heart, Daniel. I believe if there's going to be a kingdom on this earth physically, I believe he'll let Peter, James, and John build it. Peter asked, he said, it's good for us to be here. Let's build a tabernacle. Huh? He wouldn't let them, would he? Glory to God! He told them exactly what to do. Hear him. That's the voice they heard. It's my beloved son. Hear ye him. Yes, sir. Brethren, that tabernacle has been set up. It has been set up. Brethren, people's been believing on it for years and years and years on end. And brethren, they wouldn't but one thing they was looking for when they left here. And brethren, that was heaven. I can preach that. I got news for you. You leave here, it's going to be heaven. And you ain't going. You hear me, Mike? I ain't going either. Oh! You said, preacher, you just confusing people. My friend, flesh and blood don't inherit it. Amen. Cannot, will not, goes right back to the dust. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. That's where it come from. That's where he's going. Heaven. Why, preacher, I can't wait to see them streets of gold and them walls of jasper. Folks, I got news for you. I hope that's not your vision. I hope that's not what you're looking for. Because if it is, you will be disappointed. I can't help it. I wasn't going to say that. Preacher, it tells you over in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, it tells you, all right. I can't get over it. I cannot get over it. Brother Griffin Crumley preached a message one night out of the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, and he said, getting high enough to see the church. Yeah. Oh! Brethren, I'm going to tell you something, Crafton. I believed his message. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Preacher, what are you talking about? John said, I see Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven. Is that not right? Coming out of heaven. My friend, adorned. Adorn, my friend, as a bride for a husband. Yes, sir. And he told John, come on up hither. Is that not what he said? I'm going to show you what? I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The church is the Lamb's wife. She always has been, and she always will be. And thank God she come straight out of heaven. Yeah. Yeah. Listen. And he began to describe unto John the bride. You ain't going to read it no other way. Now, I'm going to go right back to my message. What does heaven mean to you? What does it mean to you? Think about it. Well, preacher, all lovely things is going to be there. I hope you get your request. I believe it'll be lovely. Don't you? Now, I don't know altogether what people think. I couldn't tell you what people think. I can tell you what some people think. I can't tell you what everybody thinks. But the truth of it is, we got about 100 folks here this morning or so. And I'll guarantee you there's probably about 100 forms of heaven. And the truth of it is, you ain't listened or heard very much that I've said this morning. And it will not change what form or what vision of heaven you have.
Amen.
Preacher, you preaching under them circumstances? I most certainly am. I'm preaching under the understanding, my friend, that what I'm preaching to you doesn't mean beans. Ain't many preachers tell you that mess. You know it? Ain't many preachers tell you, my friend, that you ain't listening. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been preaching for quite a while, and I wonder sometimes how many's heard the word.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Preacher, you're not think like that. Well, why not? And they go through the line, my friend. They're talking about something different than what you preached. I know it's quiet, and I know it's homecoming. I know it is. You say, preacher, you just put a damper on homecoming. I got news for you. If I can put a damper on you, there ain't much to you. Brother, my hope, my feelings, and everything else, banking on Jesus. Oh, it's in his bag. Yes, sir. And if I stay pretty close to his bag, Mike, thank God he's going to show me a little attention.
Amen.
He'll do you the same way.
Yes.
I guarantee you, when you get down to pray, my friend, don't you expect God to hear you. You do. You do. Very little communication, my friend, between us about what heaven really is. I'm going to tell you why we got little communication. We don't know. We hope. We look for it to be. But the truth of it is, we don't know. Why is it, my friend, that Paul, he said he knew that man. I'm going to tell you who that man was. Is Paul himself. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. These things, my friend, Paul could not tell it. The truth of it is, you will not believe it. I can't help it. Brother Walden, after down yonder, stoners. One night, my friend, they called mercy on him. He's out. They worked with him there for a few minutes, several minutes. My friend, after a while, they revived him and got him back. And out of his own son's mouths, more than one witness. Very first words that come out of his mouth says, why did you call me back? Huh? Reckon where he was. Huh? I'm going to tell you where he was. Thank God he had done made the crossing. Preacher, you can't preach that. He got up and testified out of his own mouth after that. Wasn't long he died after that. Wasn't long. But he come, he had testified, and he said, I would to God I could just tell you. Huh? I don't know what he saw. I don't know. We wouldn't believed it. No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't have believed it. You know why we wouldn't have believed it? Because we ain't experienced it.
Amen.
My friend, and I get to heaven, I ain't going to have this man.
No, sir, we'll not contend no more. Thank God, we'll not battle no more. Thank God, we'll not disbelieve anymore. I'm preaching to you. You listen to me. Thank God, the Word of God is all in the world that we need to live by. Ain't that what Peter said? In that first chapter, he told us how good it was, how he is going to be revealed, and at his revealing, the end of that, our faith would be salvation. Is that not right, Crafton? I don't think I'm off the mark. I don't think I've missed the mark. My friend, but I want you to know, it does not matter what you believe about heaven. My friend, God's already got it fixed. I ain't waiting on him to build me a house. A lot of folks are. Yes, they are. Preacher, you've lost your mind. I want to tell you something this morning. Homecoming. Homecoming ought to be joyous. Yeah. You know that? It's pretty good. Or I think it is. It's pretty good around the house when we can get them all together. When everybody comes. Pretty important. That little lady over there, she'll send them text. She tries to get them there. You know what I mean? Give them the date. Give them the time. She'll get texts back sometimes. Well, these ain't going to make it. These ain't going to make it. And you know what? When it comes time, they're there. Huh? Funny thing, they wasn't going to make it, but they're there. It's homecoming. You hear me? It's homecoming. They ain't nothing like having your family around the home table. No, sir. Ain't nothing. Nothing. Nothing compares. I'm already a great-grandpa. 4 times fixing to be 5. Yes, sir. And you know what? We ain't all glorious until we all there. Our last little old great grandchild starting to walk, makes her old. I ain't as old as she is. The years will creep up on you, young folks. The years will get away from you. Real fast. You think you can't wait till you get your license? Then you think you can't wait till you get 21? All such of these things. Now I want you to know, next thing you turn around, you're 55. Or you could be 65. Or you could be 75. I'm going to tell you something. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I've known 2 people in my life. One of them hit 100 and the other one was 99. I buried 2 or 3 99s. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Why, preacher, I don't know that I can make it through all the aches and the pains. I'm going to tell you something. That's part of getting old. They're coming. I had a man tell me several years ago, 25, 27, 28 years ago, something like that. We're sitting in the store there, and he
sitting in the chair. He was 70 years old. He had just went to the doctor. They started telling me, they said, I'm a little disappointed in my doctor. I said, why is that? And he said, well, said, I sat there and I told him where I was hurting and how I was hurting. And he fiddled around there a little bit and said, he come back and looked at me and he said, you going to hurt somewhere the rest of your life. Huh? Yeah. About the truth. Yeah. About the truth. If you ain't hurting, got some age on you, you ought to thank the Lord. Listen, I don't know what heaven means to you. But I can faithfully and honestly tell you that there is very little description of heaven in the Bible. Very little. I have no clue. You can come get a verse of a song. That's going to be the message. Preacher, you should have found you another message. I done all I could not to. I done all I could do not to stand today. I'm telling you honestly. And the Lord got to dealing with me just a little bit yesterday. Just a little bit. He got to dealing with me. Preacher, you got the wrong message. Well, I got news for you. I've enjoyed bringing the wrong message. I don't believe it works that way. I really don't. I cannot tell by looking at you whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Not as a general rule. I will say this, I do believe that God shows people, different people, whether they're lost or whether they're saved. Where they need the Lord, where they're in trouble. Troubled or not troubled, you can put it any which way you want to. But far as looking on the outward appearance, I cannot say whether you're saved or whether you're lost. I can't say that. I don't have that ability. But I can say this. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're lost, you're going to wind up in the lake of fire. And there ain't but two places. You will occupy one or the other. Yes, you will. Now, what does heaven mean to you? Let us stand.